Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. It's a new season. It's a new day. Fresh anointing. It's coming our way. With power and prosperity. And don't forget, it's for you and me. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4 and 11. Let's speak this together. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of what? Ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. For the work of ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. For the work of ministry. That means that there's something that we have to do. It's called a mission. You know, a lot of places have a mission statement. Amen? It's a mission. A mission is something that's something you've been called to do. It's a mission. He says, so here it is. In verse 13, it says, to fulfill this mission, we've got to get to a place. Till we all come to the unity of the what? Faith. So that we're like-minded. And the knowledge of the Son of God. In other words, revelation of who he truly is. To a perfect man. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is the anointing. So that we may walk in the anointing. Now listen. That means your mission is an eternal mission in a temporary realm. God has sent me and you into this realm to fulfill a mission. We call it a military mission. Everything associated in the kingdom of God is relevant to the military because it is a kingdom. And so many times we take things nonchalantly and don't recognize that arena. Because Jesus paid the price for us, we fall into religion. Instead of relationship in the area of discipline and consistency according to military function. See, these offices are offices of God's army. When you join the army, you go through boot camp. You are trained. And the purpose that you are trained is to overcome your enemy. And if you don't maintain that training, you don't overcome your enemy. Your enemy overcomes you, and then you can never fulfill the mission you've been sent to do. Amen. Verse 14. That we should no longer be what? Children, immature, easily accessed by the enemy. Tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. That we should come to a place where we what? Speak the truth in love. And may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what? Every joint supplies according to the effect of working by which every part does its what? Share or its mission. Causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Again, we are on a mission that is eternal in a temporary realm. We are to maintain the unity of faith, get revelation of Christ and the fullness of the anointing. We're no longer to be easily accessed by the enemy, but we're to speak truth and love and grow up so that we do our part. Our part is the mission that we've been called to. It's fulfilling our mission, which causes growth to the kingdom of God and the body of Christ. Again, we must fulfill our mission. Too many times, people are easily swayed from fulfilling their mission. You know, as we were worshiping, one of the things that came to me, because I was looking at this mission as we were praising and worshiping. And the first I saw this word light up said pride. 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 Pride interferes with the mission that we've been called to. See, pride says, I can do it my way and according to my way when I feel like it. Pride is the will of man influenced by the demonic arena. I'm going to say that again. Pride is the will of man influenced by the demonic arena. And it will always interfere, sway, or mislead a person from fulfilling their mission. In Psalm 50, when we associate with pride, God says that is wicked. Everyone say, pride is wickedness. Why? Because it's influenced by who? The demonic arena. See, there are many believers in Christ that just think because they've been saved by the blood of Christ, sanctified, justified, and glorified for His purpose, that they can still do what they want to do. That is totally incorrect and not the doctrine of Christ Jesus. That is incorrect and not the doctrine of Christ Jesus. When we're willing to do whatever it takes, we're supposed to mean it. When we're not willing to do whatever it takes or compromise whatever it takes, that is called pride. And we know P-R-I-D-E is personal reverence into a deadly end. And the Lord calls it wickedness in Psalm 50 and verse 16. This is the way He perceives this. See, so many times we perceive it in our own carnal understanding, but God perceives it in this way. He says, but to the wicked, God says, what right do you have to declare my statutes? Whoa. Or take my covenant in your mouth. Seeing you hate instruction. Come on, read this with me. And cast my words behind you. When you saw a thief, you consented with him and have been a partaker with adulterers. You give your mouth to evil and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done and I have kept silent. You thought that I was altogether like you. But I will what? Rebuke you and set them in order before your what? Your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver you. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. Wow. This is how God perceives things. See, we've had so much watered-down doctrine. We've had so much foolishness. We've had so much soulless ministry that there's not been enough of the Spirit. And it is the ministry of the Spirit, not the ministry of the soul. Yes, God is merciful. He is graceful. He is loving. But let me tell you, He is wrath also. I can tell you all about God's love, but if I don't tell you about His wrath, I'm not telling you the doctrine of Christ. Because there's too many believers that teeter-totter. Up, down, in, out, still wanting to do their way. But you can't keep one foot in the world and one foot in Christ. You'll serve the one and hate the other. You can no longer do what you want to do. I can no longer do what I want to do. I don't care how I feel. There's times when I go to jail and I don't feel like going. There's times when I gotta pray and I don't feel like praying. There's times when I have to come and preach and I don't feel like preaching. There's time when I gotta teach and I don't feel like teaching. But there's something that stands before me all the time. The Lord. And when I see him, I say, not my will, Lord, yours. It doesn't mean I'm perfect, because I make plenty of mistakes. Let me tell you, I can be a real idiot. But thank God for his mercies and grace, who kicks me in the butt, slaps me in the head, and says, let's go. But I'm willing to receive correction. I'm willing to be rebuked. I won't be offended. I will honor it and receive it, because he chastens those he loves. Again, he says, because you hate correction. You hate instruction. I'm telling you, pride is the number one killer of mankind, not sickness nor disease, nor the enemy. Pride. Pride is suicide. Pride. Pride goes before a fall. Pride is the will of man influenced by the demonic arena. And it'll always get us in trouble, no matter what we do. Amen? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Maintaining your mission. So there's got to be a place where we maintain this mission, don't we? Maintaining the mission is called maintaining your call. No wavering. No justifying, but to start to recognize. 2 Corinthians 4. Is everybody there? In verse 7. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. Let's speak it together. But we have this what? Treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of what? Not of us. Not of us. See, when that happens, it becomes prideful. Not of us. Not of us. That the power may be of Christ, not of us. Let's go a little further. Verse 8. We are what? Hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Christ may also be manifested in our body. And this is where we've got examples. Is the life of Christ manifested in your life? I'm not sharing with you in the area of when you feel like it. See, life means everything. That means life here, that word means existence. Is the existence of Christ manifesting in your existence? If he's not, then there's open doors. If he's not, there's pride. See, we can become very religious idiots and lose sight of the mission and the calling and the purpose, and get involved in me, myself, and I. And that is pride. But Lord, I think we need to do it this way. Listen, I don't tell God how to do anything unless he asks me how. And when he asks me how, I know I'm being set up. Because he's testing me. But there's a difference in the relationship with God and Father. In the carnal state, you see him as God. In the spirit state, you see him as Father. Are you listening? He is not only God, but he's my Father. And if my Father is God, what do I have to worry about? So I don't serve him because I have to. I serve him because I love him. I'm not trying to gain brownie points. Hello. I'm not trying to gain anything from him. I'm not serving him to get something. And I can't stand before him and say, Lord, I've done this, so you've got to do that. Because he says to me, Guy, hurry up and do this so I can get this to you. Because I have relationship. And that's what he wants us all to have, a father-daughter, father-son relationship. Not to where we serve him because we're afraid of going to hell. The only reason why we get to that place is because we're already near hell. Hello. We shouldn't have to be concerned about that any longer. Because if we truly have a relationship, hell's not the question. The question is, am I pleasing you? Because I live to please you, not myself. So we must examine our life. Because if, and again, the word life means existence. We must examine our existence. Is the existence of Christ being manifested, or the existence of my life being manifested? Amen. Let's go a little further. In verse 11. For we who live are always what? Delivered to death for Christ's sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our what? Mortal flesh. That's what we live for, isn't it? See, pride is always doing, it's got three areas, pride. There are three P's of pride. It wants to prove itself, protect itself, and promote itself. It wants to prove itself, protect itself, and promote itself. So you know what it does? It fights for itself. Arguments are nothing but pride. Amen? People get in fleshly fights because of pride. People get in arguments because of pride. Because they're trying to prove themselves, protect themselves, and promote themselves. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, your mission is eternal mission in a temporary realm. It's a what? Eternal mission in a temporary realm. See, we keep looking at this temporary mission, when actually our mission is an eternal mission. What we're doing here in this realm is eternal. That's why we've been rescued. Not to fulfill our carnal mission or temporary mission, or selfish mission. Our mission is eternal. That's why Jesus said to the gentleman who said, Lord, you know, I give alms, I fast, I pray, I fellowship, I do all of these things. And the Lord said, okay, you sell everything you have and follow me. And the guy said, no, you kidding me? See, because his agenda was him first. Everybody got it. His agenda. Jesus knew what his agenda was. See, he was actually trying to prove himself by what he does. Well, Lord, I do this. I do. See, I talk to many people and say, "Well, I don't drink anymore. I don't do this anymore. I don't do that anymore." But you live like a heathen. Well, then the life of Christ, the existence of Christ is not being manifested. And there's no way we will fulfill this eternal mission that God has given us to fulfill in a temporary realm. That's why we live. That's why we're here. That's why we've been rescued. Has everybody got it? We are not here to fulfill our mission. We're not here just to go to work, have a family, have kids, build houses, and do all the other things. That's the will of man. There's a will of God that is an eternal mission. That what we're doing is with our family, our homes, is to expand the kingdom. We're to be hospitable. We're to take the finances we have and support the kingdom of God. We're to take the time we have to learn and be trained up. Because we are an eternal mission, not temporary. It is in a temporary realm with an eternal mission. So that when you stand before God, he will reward you. Don't look for the reward of man. Look for the reward of God. Hallelujah. In verse 26, 1 Corinthians chapter something. And sure ain't 20. Oh, I'm in. Verse 26, did I say that? Well, then it must be correct. Sure. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Let's speak it together. For you see your what? Your calling. And what is your calling? It's your mission. So everybody got it? That's the eternal mission God has given you. Your calling is your eternal mission. For you see your calling, that means you must see it. To see things spiritually, you must have faith. Brethren, that not many wise according to the what? Flesh. Not many mighty, not many noble are what? Are called. But God is what? Chosen the what? Foolish things of the world to put to what? Shame the things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the what? Weak things of the world to put to shame the things of, which are what? Which are mighty. That's why I stand before you today. I was weak. I was an idiot. I was out there lost. I was foolish. But God loves to take something and turn it into a trophy. Let me tell you, he makes you look good. He does. He makes you look good when you're not. Only he can transform us, can he? Only him. But there must be a willing heart and a cooperating spirit. In verse 28, and the base things of the world, that the things which are despised, God has chosen. That's why he chose me. I was despised. And the things which are not, to what? To bring to nothing the things that are what? That are. In other words, that you might bring those things from the spirit realm into the natural realm. And that no flesh should glory in his presence. But to him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So we're to see our calling, which is called our mission. Your first call is to battle. And we've shared with this before. There's three parts of your mission. Your call is to battle. So everybody got it? And you know, unfortunately, the battlefield is your mind. You're going to have to battle. The soul is the battlefield. So we're not only to battle to keep the enemy out, but we're to battle to destroy the enemy. And that's what your purpose is. Your purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. So your calling, you are called to battle. Your purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. And your destiny is to infiltrate the world system with the talents and abilities that God gave you to rescue those who are lost. Those are the three parts of your mission. In 1 John chapter 1, or chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Maintaining your mission. Everyone say, I'm on a mission from God. It's an eternal mission. In a temporary realm, I must do everything to maintain it so I'm not swayed or misled. In Jesus' name. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7. Let's speak it. Little children, let no one what? Deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the what? Of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So your purpose is to do what? Destroy Satan's kingdom. Amen. Aren't we still carrying that part of that mission that Jesus did? Isn't it part of our mission to heal the sick? Cast out devils, raise the dead, lay hands on the sick, preach the gospel, go into the places of darkness, pierce darkness, bring light to darkness. Isn't that a part of our mission? Amen. That's what it's about. That's, listen, we weren't rescued to sit home and knit. Hello. Unless you're making tents like Paul did or something. So our purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom, right? And our destiny is to infiltrate the world system with the ability and talents God gave us. Go to 1 Samuel 15. Pride will always interfere with the mission, so will lust. Lust will always interfere with the mission. Lust. And when people yield to lust, it's because they're prideful. First Samuel chapter 15 and verse 10. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself. Talk about a little bit of pride. And he has gone on around, passed by, gone down to Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Well, he truly believed he did, didn't he? But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Man, he thought he did a great job. Then Samuel said to him, be quiet. I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, speak on. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, hello, when you were humble, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission. Everyone say mission. And said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are what? Consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, watch, he starts to justify. See, because he compromised his mission. He was supposed to go over there and destroy everything and the king. And he took the sheep and the oxen and brought the king back. He compromised his mission. In the eyes of God, a compromised mission is a disobedience to the complete mission. And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. And I've gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been, the things which should have been utterly what? Destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. The problem here is he said, the Lord your God. See, when people compromise mission, he's not their God. See, because they lose that sight. They lose the fear of the Lord. They compromise. When you compromise, when we compromise, it is pride. And where there's pride, there's the lack of fear of the Lord, the reverence, honor, and respect. And that is the will of man that is influenced by the demonic arena. Compromise, complacency. Look at, watch, in verse 22. So Samuel said, has the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? Oh, Lord, but you don't know what I do for you. You don't know what I do for you? Oh, but Lord, you know I obey when I feel like it. Oh, but you know, Lord, I mean, come on, a little of this, a little of that, a little scotch, a little whiskey, a little gambling, a little bourbon, a little dope, a little sex, a little pornography, just a little, Lord. That's all. I'm a good person, Lord. You know I love you. Not in his eyes. He said, what right do you have to speak my oracles and my statutes? What right do you have to speak the things that I've brought that are holy and eternal into this realm? Yet you compromise them, disgrace them. I'm telling you, there is a move of God that is bringing holiness. We are to stand before him blameless and holy. See, mercy has been trampled. Grace has been trampled. Doctrines of soul have come forth. There is no compromise. He says, make your yes is yes, your no's no's. There is no gray area in God Almighty. None. We're either willing or we're not. One or the other. We're either in or we're out. We're either consistent or we're not. One or the other. Watch. Has the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than what? Sacrifice. And to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is a what? This is what God says. He says, you're influenced by the demonic arena and don't even know it. You compromise my truth. You trample that which is holy and don't discern what's clean and unclean. It is rebellion and it is witchcraft, and you are stubborn as in iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, the counsel of the Lord, the instruction of the Lord, and the command of the Lord. He also will reject you from being king or authority. You know, there's a lot of people that want to be a part in the body of Christ and do things, but God ain't going to allow it. So they promote themselves. It must be ordained by the Lord, not by man, by the Lord. Amen? Look at what he says, verse 24. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord. Hello? And your words, because I what? I feared the people and obeyed their voice. In other words, well, if he feared the people and obeyed their voice, then he was doing the will of man, wasn't he? And where was that influence coming from? Demonic arena. Listen, this may be a harsh word, a correcting word, but I'm telling you it's a life-changing word today. It's life-changing. God chastens those he loves. He's expecting us to go to another level because of what's getting ready to happen. We must be willing to turn away from the ways of the will of man and turn to the way of the will of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 4. Everybody okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, there's something I'm always reminded of, and there was a movie called Schindler's List. And at the end of the movie, which is, it was burned in me, and I know this was from the Spirit. It was burned in me. Schindler, who was a wealthy man and businessman, everything started with him in Germany to bring money. Then he began to see what the Germans were doing to the Jews. He owned factories and all kinds of stuff. He spent loads, millions and millions of dollars to entertain, to party, to lust, and to do all kinds of things to expand his business. But he began to see what the Jews were doing, the Germans were doing to what Hitler's was doing to the Jews. And his heart began to change because the people that he hired to work in his factories were loyal and just people. And it began to change his heart. So he began to change, and he began to try to negotiate with Hitler's regime and buy some people. And he didn't no longer care about his business anymore. See, God touched his heart. See, he realized that the mission of God was more important to him than his own success. And he began to buy as many people as he could. He began to pay off military individuals and say, come on, I know we're not producing anything more, but take everything I have. He lost everything and bought as many people as he could. And then it was time. The war ended and it was time for him to depart. But and sometimes the people were taken away from him, and he'd go and he'd get and borrow money and do whatever he could to buy them back. And at the end, the Jews were so grateful that they allowed gold to be taken out of their teeth. And they made him a ring as they were getting ready to depart. And in the movie, at the end, they put a ring on him. And his cry to the Lord was, why did I do what I did? Why? I could have bought one more soul if I just wouldn't have spent the money here. I could have bought one more person if I didn't do this. I could have bought one more person. See, because he realized that he had an opportunity to fulfill the mission of God. And reality to do it came at a time when he could only rescue so many. But his regret was, why didn't I do this before? Why didn't I see this then? See, we fight against God sometimes and resist. That's what he was telling right here. That's what he was speaking to Samuel. He said, that's what he was speaking to Saul when Samuel spoke through him. Why did you resist? Why did you compromise? Do you know that there could have been one more soul you could have saved from going to hell? One more. Just one. We cannot compromise this mission. No matter what it takes, we've got to stand. We've got to stand in unity. We've got to be willing to expose the enemy in our life and willing to remove him from our life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. Let's speak it together. Let a man so consider us as what? Servants of Christ. In other words, we are servants to the anointing. And stewards of the what? Mysteries of God. We are stewards. You realize what we know? We know mysteries. We know the things that the world doesn't even know. We know the truth. How could we not tell? How can we not just willing to do whatever it takes and fulfill the mission to carry the truth? But is anybody going to believe someone that is still in the world and proclaims to be a Christian? You can't give what you don't have. In verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found what? Faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or any human court. In fact, I don't even judge myself. For I know nothing against me, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. Why? Because he has a relationship. He's not concerned what man says. He's concerned what God says. And when we lose sight of what God says compared to what man says, we are out of order. And I'm going to go a little further. We're lost. And turn into religious. When we lose sight of God, we're lost. When we lose sight of the Lord being before us, we're lost. And now we're relying on ritual to maintain. Instead of relationship. Three things. We are servants to the anointing. And the anointing is the eternal presence and power of truth of God Almighty. We are stewards to the mysteries of God. And we are ambassadors to the kingdom. See, so many people lose sight of who we are. They lose sight of who they are. And when we lose sight of who we are, we compromise the mission. So everybody got it? Say it with me. When I lose sight of who I am in Christ, I compromise the mission. 1 Corinthians 7. Maintaining your mission. 1 Corinthians 7:17. But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all the churches. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not become circumcised. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. In other words, ritual is nothing. But keeping the commandment of God is what matters. In other words, staying on the mission. Let each one of you remain in the same what? Calling or mission that you've been sent. Don't compromise your mission. Don't try to fulfill someone else's mission. You're to fulfill yours. Now, you're to assist in someone else's vision, which is a part of your mission. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. For he was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freed man. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. In other words, doing the will of man, which is influenced by the demonic arena. We must maintain our mission. 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1, in verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Knowing this, is everybody there? I'm in 1 Timothy. Hallelujah. That didn't look right. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. Therefore, do not be what? Ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner. But share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a what? Holy calling. You got a holy mission. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So your mission was predestined already. See, because you and I were already in God. Before he created anything. We're already in him. When his creation came forth, he already said it. When he chose you to come at a specific time, you came from him. That's why when we first came into this realm and we were able to maintain conscience, actually we had to maintain a communication. The things that we ask ourselves is, who am I, why am I here, and where am I going? Because you're looking for a home. So the enemy would place everything in your way that would imitate or camouflage or counterfeit the presence of God and prevent us from going home or knowing God's presence to do his will and fulfill our mission. So our mission is holy, isn't it? It is holy. That means it's been ordained and predestined by God Almighty in you. It was put in you when you came into this realm. But it wasn't awakened until you were born again. So when you were awakened, your mission began to come. You started your mission the moment you were awakened. It was almost like you were sent in another dimension, put asleep in another dimension and sent forth into another time zone and waited for a specific moment and appointed time to awaken, to come out of this capsule and fulfill the mission and go back home. Does everybody got this? See, we get so caught up in carnality. We get so caught up in worldliness. We get so caught up that we lose sight and compromise the mission. We get caught up in self-protection, self-proof, self-promotion, self. And we begin to replace the things of that is of God's eternal presence, which encourages and helps us to get and fulfill our mission, with false fulfillment of the world. Drugs, alcohol, pride, lust. The world is nothing but lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. That's the imitation of God's presence. It's the counterfeit of God's presence. But see, we must know these things. One of the worst things we could do is be successful in the wrong assignment. I don't want to be like Schindler at the end saying, man, I could have done one more thing. But you know what? Every one of us probably could have done one more thing no matter what. But if we're willing to fulfill the mission, I'm sure he's not going to bring that up. Thank God. Ephesians 4:17. I speak it. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their what? Understanding darkened. Does everybody have understanding today? Being alienated from the life of God, the existence of God in your life. Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to the lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Isn't greediness associated with self? But you have not learned Christ. You've not learned the anointing. You've not learned the mission. You haven't grabbed hold of it. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you what? Put off. Everyone say put off. Concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt and according to the deceitful what? Lusts. Well, who's to put it off? We are. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you may put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. True righteousness and holiness. Why? Because your mission is holy. You know, so there's something that we've got to do to maintain our mission. We must deny ourselves, pick up the cross, and follow. Amen? Deny yourself means take off the old. Pick up the cross means put on the new. And follow means to obey. It's a guideline to maintain, isn't it? If we're not doing those things, there's no way that we will fulfill the mission. We will compromise it. In Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21, verse 16. Proverbs 21, verse 16. Maintaining your mission. A man who wanders from the way of what? So listen, don't wander from today's understanding. Has everybody got it? vitally important, impartation. If you wander from today's understanding, you will rest in the assembly of the dead. Now that may sound pretty wild, isn't it? Dead meaning not fulfilling. Dead meaning put to sleep. Dead meaning works of man. Dead meaning the will of man. Everybody got it. Dead. Because the only thing that is maintained alive is that has been ordained by Christ. If it's not according to Christ, it is not life. Life is existence. Thank God when we blow it, we can repent and turn. Amen? Because only the will of God is covered by the blood. Anything that's not the will of God is not covered by the blood. The will of man is not covered by the blood. The will of the flesh is not covered by the blood. The will of the soul is not covered by the blood. Only the will of God is covered by the blood. John 15. You know, it's amazing to me in the deception in the area of, you know, think about how many decisions and choices we've made. You know, they're either leading to, appropriating to the mission of God or the will of man. One is leading to life and one is leading to death. Every decision we make, whether it's one is leading to one or the other. And let me share something with you which will always stand before you in any decision you make. God never interrupts himself. Never. Never. He never interrupts himself. I get people that call me and tell me, well, you know, I've prayed about this, and or they'll tell me they prayed about it and they come to the discipleship house for 9 months and, well, I prayed about it and it's time to go. They didn't pray about it. Because if they really heard God, and he said, you're wrong. I don't interrupt myself. You know how many times God has given somebody something to do and they never completed it? Have you ever followed all the way through? See, this mission is to follow all the way through. God is not going to interrupt himself. He's not going to change the mission. He's going to add to it. He doesn't change it. He adds to it. Remember, we are called to battle. Our purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom, and our destiny is to infiltrate the world system with the talents and abilities. And to maintain that mission that God has given us, we must deny ourselves. Every day. The Bible doesn't say when you feel like it. It says daily deny yourself. Daily. Man, we got to deny ourselves at every decision. We got to deny ourselves in every area we go. We got to deny ourselves from buying things we're not supposed to. From giving out money where we're not supposed to. We got to deny ourselves from speaking words we're not supposed to speak. From touching things we're not supposed to touch. We got to deny ourselves. And everything we do to fulfill the mission. Now, this is not a religious type of thing. Hello. God likes to dance. I've danced with him. I've played tennis with him. He beats me every time. He's a fun dad. He wants to be a part of everything of our life. He wants us to have fun. The Bible says that in his presence is fullness of joy, and that there's treasures in his right hand. So he's not trying to hold anything back. But the things he wants to give us is to always assist us in promoting the mission, the call. That doesn't mean you can't go lay in the sun. It doesn't mean you can't go to the beach. It doesn't mean you can't go on rides. It doesn't mean you can't take a vacation or a cruise. It has nothing to do with those things. He wants to be with you in that. That's all a part of the mission. Religion is not a part of the mission. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Religion brings bondage, brings self-justification, and will promote pride every time. John 15:4. What does he say? Abide in me and I'll abide in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it should be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Oh, hallelujah. Abide. We're to abide in his eternal presence. We're to abide through prayer and word and fellowship. You came to abide today. You don't think the enemy tried to prevent you from coming today? You must deny yourself. Has everybody got it? This is a part of the mission, isn't it? I'm going to close in Psalm 15. Oh, I got more, but that's it. Psalm 15 ought to seal it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Maintain your mission. Psalm 15, let's speak it together, please. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Remember, everything revolves around the tabernacle of God. Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who what? Walks uprightly, works righteousness, speaks the truth in his heart, and does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised. But he what? Honors those who what? Fear the Lord. He honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. You want to know what? How not to be moved? Read the psalm over and over and over. Get understanding with this psalm, Psalm 15, until it becomes you. Amen? And then you won't be moved. Doesn't mean you won't make a mistake, but you won't be moved. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask that the seed continue to be imparted in each and every one of us. Be protected by the blood of the Lamb and grow and bear fruit for your glory. Again, I want to thank you for listening. For more teachings and resources, please visit our eternal library at .org. And now the Lord bless you and keep you, empower you, and prepare your heart in Jesus' name. Anybody said amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.